Welcome to the Art Talk podcast, where I tell the stories of art, artists, and interview people in the arts. I am Karin Merks, your host, and I am an artist, art historian, teacher, and mentor. Hello, listeners. This is episode 69 of Art Talk, and today I have Margaret Sloan as my guest in Art Talk. Margaret is a painter who has, as she once told me, a love relationship with watercolor. She's a painter who paints nature, and with that, brings nature back into your home to create a form of calm and reconnection. Welcome, Margaret, or Maggie, I see in your screen. I'm so happy to have you as my guest.
Well, I'm really excited to be here. Maggie's the nickname, but that's Maggie's nickname.
Okay. Yeah. So I call you Maggie. So yeah. I was getting through your website to do my research and couldn't really find something about you apart from being a painter and a writer. Could you tell us a bit about yourself? For instance, how art came into your life and how your love relationship with watercolor started?
Well, I was born with art in my life. I can't remember ever doing anything else. And my mother always laughed and said, I was born with a crayon in my hand. I always did art and I always wrote. And I remember when I was about 10, one of the neighbor ladies asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I said, I wanted to be an artist and a writer. And she said, oh, well, you can't do both. It's too hard. And so I've spent my whole life trying to prove that lady wrong.
Well, you did.
Thank you. Watercolor, I love watercolor. It's my favorite medium. I keep trying oils and I kind of have a love-hate relationship with oils. But watercolor, I love it. It's, first of all, it's the ease of it because I'm just basically lazy. And watercolor does a lot of the work for you, right? You put the water in, you put the paint in the water and it flows on its own. And you just sort of talk to it and try to convince it to do what you want it to do. Whereas I feel like with oil paint, you're in charge there and it just does what you tell it to do. And I don't like having to have that much responsibility. I traveled a lot as a young adult. I traveled through Mexico and Central America. So traveling, watercolor was the easiest thing to have in my travels. And also, I've always had to have a day job. I think this last year is the first time in my life that I haven't had to have a day job. Or I haven't had a day job. Not that I haven't had to have one. And So watercolor also, you know, when you're done, you just close the case. Yeah. When you come back, you spray some water on it. You're good. Whereas with oil, you know, I would paint for 2 days and then I'd have to go to work or I'd get busy and I'd come back and all my paints were dried up. So I'm just really loving the watercolor. I do feel I need a spate of oil painting. I try to oil paint a couple of months out of the year, just because it always improves my watercolor paints.
Hmm. Interesting.
So the things I learn from oil, I always can take those into watercolor and I speak differently than with watercolor.
As what? What does oil teach you that you can use in watercolor?
Well, you know, for one thing, you start differently in oil, right? You start with the darks and you work towards your lights. And watercolor, in most kinds of watercolor, you have to preserve your lights and work down into your kind of carving. And so that switch of my way of having to think about something, for some reason, it rejuvenates my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So rejuvenates how I look at a thing. And then there's also some things, that oil does that watercolor doesn't do. So in oil, you can get really those beautiful, rich darks that in watercolor is very, very difficult to get and have it not be flat, you know? So when I paint in oils, I tend to pay more attention to my shadow patterns at the outset, whereas in watercolor, I pay more attention to my white patterns and my light patterns. Mm-hmm. It's just a different switching it up, you know. It's the same as like 1 year I was sick of painting at all. And so I started doing sculpture with just wiring twigs together.
Oh, okay.
So it's just, and when I came back, I just had this whole refreshed kind of feeling, you know. It's just switching it up, doing something different. So that's what I love about watercolor. I also really love the transparency. And Karen, I also did portraits for a long time. In fact, portraiture is one of my favorite things to do in life drawing. So let's back up a little. I did art my whole life, and I was just what, you know, we call self-taught. I just did art. And when I was in my 40s, I had a really profound life change. I broke up with my long-term partner, I had been living in Mexico. I moved back to America in with my parents. And I just had this profound life change. And I decided that I was tired of just being self-taught, because I was not able to say the things I needed to say. I didn't have the alphabet. I didn't have the grammar, the visual grammar, to say the things I wanted to say. So I decided I was going to study life drawing. And the reason I chose life drawing was because there was one day I was in this little beach town in Mexico, gorgeous little beach town. And there were these three women, a mother and her two daughters, and they were sitting on a bench on the malecón, and with the light and the waves. And it was so, it touched me so deeply, and I couldn't put it on paper. I couldn't put that image on paper because I did not have the language to do that. Yeah. So I started studying. So when I came back to America, I decided I really wanted to gain that language. So I started studying at the Oakland School of Classical Realism. And it was an hour and a half drive for me to get there twice a month. And it was all day Saturday. And then I also would go on other days. They would have just a long pose, and it was classical drawing. Mm-hmm. And I did that for 5 years with a beautiful teacher named Rob Anderson, who's left us now. But when I paint, I still hear him. I still hear his voice.
In my ear. That sticks with you, right?
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
I still hear him. And I hear him saying, "Is that really what you see?"
Yeah, I recognize that. Yeah.
So because I taught portraiture for a while, and I tell my students, like, your brain lies to you. It tells you what it wants the easiest thing. You know, you have to train your eye to override your brain.
Yeah. And I always say, because that's what the teacher said to me, and I still hear him, "Karen, don't paint or draw what you think you see."
Right? Right? The idea of something, like I have had students draw an eye, and they draw, you know, the... The sort of the leaf shape with the ball in it. And like, that's, you know, that's an icon for an eye. Yeah. That's your idea of what an eye is, but that is not what an eye is. That's not what you're really seeing. And so, you know, you have to walk people through that. And it takes a while. You know, I was at the atelier for 2 years, and I was just really struggling. And then one day, and I really doubled down. I was working a really demanding full-time job at that time. And I doubled down on the life drawing, though, and in all my spare hours, I would go to any life drawing, any kind of open pose. I would take classes, aside from the atelier. I was always at the atelier, but I would take classes during the week and after work. And then finally, one day, my teacher turned to me and said, "What happened to you? Who are you?" Like all of a sudden, like it clicked.
Yeah.
But it took so much work to get there. And I think that's back to the instant gratification conversation we were having earlier. I see a lot of people, a lot of students who, you know, they study for a little bit, and if they can't do it immediately, they immediately say can't do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe that's because they've done other things and it's come quickly.
And I don't think so. I think it has to do with there are things that they can use that makes it easier, so you don't have to do the work, like using a projector or whatever and copy, trace. They trace it, and
right
there you have a problem because you do not learn anything. And 9 out of 10 times, I see it immediately, and they're flat. There's no depth in it. It's not. So, for instance, I get the question, how do you make your portraits pop off the canvas? Yeah, because I know what I do.
And you have that three-dimensional form built into your head. You've built that in there. So even though if you're working from a 2D thing, you know how the nose is constructed, the ball of the muzzle, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But and I see it. I see the nose. You know, I see that bone that is under the holes. And I know this is soft.
Cartilage thing, that little ball there.
And you know, and I know that this is coming at the beginning of the eyes where the tears can go, and the mouth in the middle of the eye. Those proportions and the lines, the directions, I see that. I don't have to put it there. I see it.
Yeah.
And that is why you need all those hours that you say you have to put in.
Yes, you have to. There's some people that it's, you know, native in their brains. But I think for most of us, we have to work at it. We have to learn it. And, you know, art is not easy. I mean, it's fun for some people. I wouldn't say it's fun for me. It's not relaxing. People say, oh, art is relaxing. And I'm like, if I want to relax, I'm going to go watch Netflix. You know, I'm going to consume a thing. But that said, one of the things I find when I'm doing life drawing or any kind of drawing is that once I've struggled, there's a change that happens in my brain. And maybe that's what people are talking about. There's a change that happens in my brain that makes me much more calm and, I guess I would say my brain is really noisy. I have a lot of noise in my brain. And, but when I'm life drawing, that noise dies down.
And I can tell you why. Because then you are in you're mainly using your right hemisphere. It's the left one who's always nagging. That's a talkative one. And can't stand it when you are going in that direction. Yeah, I have the same, and that it means you are in flow. It means that you lose track of time. I have that with music. I have that with art. And I obviously also had to put in a certain amount of hours, but I know that when I'm focused and start seeing instead of thinking what I see, I can do things pretty quick. But that is, you need to be in that state.
Mm-hmm.
And I think nowadays people don't allow themselves to have that state. Everything needs to be done yesterday. As Warhol once said, we need our 15 minutes fame. And that means that you have to produce and put it on the net. Look at me.
Yeah, and I think Instagram's just terrible for artists. The whole
it is.
The whole social
and another terrible thing are the time lapses. And my last guest too, she had she makes beautiful free illustrations of animals and horses specifically, and she had a time lapse that was a drawing of an hour, but it shows like 12 seconds. And then a comment was, wow, you can do that quick. So people don't see the reality anymore.
Right.
You did. Yeah, it's a shame. Another big problem is that people don't care when they copy and they start filling in. Now, when you paint, you have to, you